Good morning, High Point. How are you guys? My name is Gino. I'm a shepherd here, and I'm on the preaching team. It is an honor to be up here with you guys. We are going to continue in our series, our Lenten series, Lent being the 40 days that lead up to the best holy day ever, when we as Christians celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? We celebrate that every day, but it's nice to have one official day once a year, right? When we all celebrate together and wear our bonnets. And we hope that you guys can take part in some of our celebrations. As TW, if you're visiting, TW, our pastor, as he mentioned, our celebration coming up for the community, and then Good Friday service and Easter service as well. Can't wait to see you guys there. Sorry. Our series is titled Mosaic of Glory, and over the last few weeks, we've been going through the Gospel of John, and we've seen a mosaic of events that create a picture of who Christ is. We're not making a mosaic out of tiles. We're making a mosaic out of signs performed by Jesus. And when you put these signs together, you get a picture of the heart and of the character of Christ. Through those signs so far, we've seen that Jesus is the Lord of nature. He's the Lord of life, the restorer of what is lost, and he is Jesus, the food that sustains us. He is the bread of life. And today we're going to see that Jesus is our helper, also a name for the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus is our Savior. And he's not just our Savior from sin and death, as if that wasn't enough. He is our Savior in the midst of our storms. We're looking at seven signs throughout this series. But there were so many more signs that Jesus did. John himself says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. John 21:25. This mosaic of Jesus that we've been forming, it's like going to a museum every day and you see this work of art, and every day you walk away with something new. You discover something new about it. He is far too great for us to completely take in, to comprehend or to understand, isn't he? But the best thing about this is that we don't have to go to a museum. All you have to do is pick up the Holy Word and see Jesus. Go to prayer. Come here, sit with a brother and sister and talk Jesus. We do love the Word of God here. If you're here and you don't have a Bible and you want one, we have some in the back. If you don't own one, it's yours to keep, please. As we expand this mosaic, though, if you look at the story that God is assembling through the mosaic that is eternity, you're a part of that mosaic. And this morning, as we look at the sign of Jesus walking on the water, we're going to see how he wants to be a part of the mosaic that is your story, your God story. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us, that while we were still sinners, you died for us, that we would have life and life abundant. And when this life throws storms at us, you're going to meet us there. Nothing will keep you from us. And I just pray that you would hide that truth in our hearts this morning, like we hide your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. We love you, and we praise your name, Jesus. Amen. So before we get started, I'd like to thank Daniel Hunter for coming up with the graphic for our sermon series. Gretchen Allen for Scripture from the Heart. I want to thank my lawyer and my accountant. There are so many people to thank for this service, right? Someone got here early and made coffee for you. Someone set up the communion. We have the teachers who prepped their classroom, and they're in there now teaching kids, youth, and adults. Tyler and his team. All of these people came together, and I know I'm missing someone. Cake balls. which will now be provided for you every Sunday. No, not really. The trustees who took up our offering, and we can't forget them because they have the money. But so did Judas, so let's be careful. Why am I going there? Because of our mosaic theme. All these people make up a mosaic, which is this service, which we hope is a pleasing sacrifice of praise unto our God, and it's a way to serve you. But Ephesians 4:12 says that the leaders of this church are to equip you, for the work of the ministry, your ministry, to equip you for the way that you get to serve. And this is not a guilt trip, but I have to ask, where are you serving at High Point or the church at large? And if not, if you're not serving right now, would you please just mention that to one of the leaders so that we can help you? There's plenty to do around here, and to be honest, without you, it just doesn't look right. The mosaic is missing something. The rest of us are missing out on you, on the Jesus in you. And again, this is not a guilt trip. It's a call to obedience. And if we can't come to church and call each other to obedience, why are we here? My friends, if you're missing, someone else is doing your job, and they're probably not doing it as well as God would want to equip you. Bottom line, if you're missing, it ain't pretty. Please talk to a shepherd, someone on staff, a ministry leader, trustee, because we want to put you to work for your good and for the good of the church, and because that's what Jesus wants. So that's the end of sermonette number one, free for nothing. That's not really what I had in mind, but I don't know. I felt like I was supposed to go there. Today's verses are taken from John 6:15-21, and in them we see another sign from Jesus. And the interesting thing about this sign is that it was for the disciples only. The previous ones, water to wine, healing the official's son from a distance, healing a paralyzed man at the pool on the Sabbath, and then feeding 5,000 people, yeah, those were all pretty public. But this one was just for the disciples. Because this one was an identity statement for them. Because it was another way for Jesus to say to his disciples, I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now the Greeks and the Romans, they put great stake into words. Their thought was, you are what you say you are. The Jews, however, would counter that, and they would say, you are what you do. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus addresses both sides. He provides 7 I am statements. He says, I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, I am the true vine. But as I said, the Jewish mind would go to those statements and say, yeah, but what did you do? And so we have our 7 signs. Today's sign, Jesus walking on water, a storm, which had his disciples fearing for their lives, shows us that there is nothing that will keep Jesus from us when we need him the most. Follow along with me in your Bible or on your app as I read the verses to you. Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing, and when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. They were frightened, but he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Do you remember a similar scene when Jesus slept in a boat during a storm and he spoke to the seas and they were calm? What did the disciples say then? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is this? This is the Lord. And this time he walks. He doesn't calm the storm. He walks on the water in the midst of the storm. Who is this? This is the Lord, and he is going out to his disciples in their time of distress, and he will do the same for you. Jesus is God. There is nothing that can keep him from you in your time of distress. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew to the mountain by himself. Jesus just miraculously fed 5,000 people, and they want to take him by force. Not an angry mob, but a determined mob to make him king, and this is not the coronation Jesus had in mind. In Mark's retelling of the story, it says that immediately, this is the way it starts, immediately the disciples got into a boat and left because Jesus told them to. Why immediately? Two reasons are given. For their safety, and number two, for their safety. Number one, for their safety from this mob, and number two, for their safety from themselves. So here you have this mob who is dead set on making Jesus king. This guy's good. He does miracles. We need that. They're going to make him king. If they're going to force him to be king, what could have happened to his disciples? Especially if they tried to stop it. So for their safety, Jesus gets them out of there. But another commentator also said that Jesus knew that it was within the disciples to go with the mob to say, yes, this is what we've been wanting too. I love that Jesus protects us from ourselves sometimes. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. The disciples were 4 miles into the Sea of Galilee when a violent storm comes up. These storms were fairly common, and they're always sudden. The Sea of Galilee is really a big lake. It's almost 700 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by sharp rising hills. So when the warm air comes off the sea and the cold air comes rushing down the hillside, that's a perfect storm for a perfect storm. But now many of the disciples were fishermen, and they knew that when a storm comes up against them, the usual thing to do was to put the boat about and to run with the wind and the waves. Why didn't they do this? One translation says that it was an excruciating effort that they were putting into the rowing. Jesus had evidently arranged to meet them on the other side. And that's what's meant by the phrase, Jesus had not yet come to them. This is John's way of saying, turning back was not an option. Because they were supposed to meet Jesus. They wouldn't consider going back. These disciples may not have understood everything that Jesus said to them, even with these signs. But you have to admit, they were loyal to him. So maybe a better way of saying this would be, they had not gotten to Jesus yet, so they were not going to stop rowing. I pray that that would be a trademark of ours. That even in the midst of the storm, we are not going to stop till we get to Jesus. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. For this section, I have to take you to the Gospel of Mark. Mark puts it this way. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. I never understood that. This wording seems so strange to me. What was he going to do? Pass them by and say, guys, rough storm, right? See you on the other side if you make it. But in Hebrew, the words that get translated to pass by them are the same words that we find in Exodus 33:19 when Moses says to God, show me your glory. And God says, I will cause all my goodness to pass by you. And even then, it was only the back that he could see. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show off, even, as it were, especially in the midst of your storm. Jesus is God. There is nothing that can keep him from you in your time of need. And he wants to reveal himself to you in your storm, through your storm. Think about Job. If anyone went through storms, it was Job. And in chapter 9, 6 through 11, Job is describing God, and he's saying that God is the one who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. He's the one who commands the sun and it does not rise, who seals up the stars, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea. Job knows a God who walks on the water. One version says, who treads on the waves as one walks on dry land. But Job goes on and describes God this way. He is the one who made the bear and Orion and Pleiades and the chambers of the south. Those are all constellations in the sky. He's the one who does great things beyond searching out. We can't figure it out. And marvelous things beyond number. Behold, he passes by me and I see him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive him. God passed by Job. God passed by Moses. He wanted to pass by the disciples in the storm, and he wants to pass by you in your storm. Don't miss him. Job says, I perceived him not. I couldn't see what he was up to. I missed him. Don't miss him. Jesus is God. There is nothing that can keep him from you in your time of need, and he wants to reveal himself to you in your storm, through your storm. Don't miss him. No matter what your storm looks like, don't freak out. He sees what you're going through, and he wants to walk on the waters that seem to be overtaking you, and he wants to pass by you to reveal his goodness and his love for you. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. And then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. The Greek translation for it is I is ego ami, and it means I am. To the Jew, it was God's name from Exodus. When Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? And God responded with, I am. I am that I am. In the Old Testament, the sea was a symbol for chaos and disorder and confusion. And if in your storm you feel chaos, disorder, confusion, rest in knowing that the great I am is with you and wants to pass by you. So what is your storm right now? What is shaking your faith? Are you doubting that God is really good after all? Is your storm your fault? Is your storm someone else's fault? No one's fault. It's life. Did you notice that when the disciples got into this storm, they were walking in obedience? Jesus told them to get into the boat. And then this happened. Have you ever said to God, after all I've done for you, this is what I get? This is the storm I find myself in. What I see in this story is that the disciples were freaking out, and I see Jesus wanting to pass by. It says he meant to pass by them. I feel like they cut him off, and he's like, okay, fine, y'all are freaking out. I'm just going to calm the storm. I didn't see it in any commentator. I don't see that necessarily in the Word. That's just what I sense in my heart because of who God is. I wonder if he had a better plan in mind, but he had to go with plan B. This is a silly illustration, and I don't know if this is making sense, but this is what came to me again. My son Micah is about to get his permit, and then he will get a license, and then he will never get a car. But I'm kidding. He's going to get a car. But what if we have a car for him already, and it's a surprise, and we come to him, and we say, Micah, I have something for you. And it's a key and a keychain. And he freaks out over the keychain. He's like, oh my gosh, that's the coolest keychain. Like, good, glad you like it. So, got to tell you something about this. Dad, can I have the keychain, please? Well, hold on, I'm going to give it to you. There's a story. Dad, there's always a story with you. Can I just have the keychain, please? I'm like, but Micah, hold on. Dad, that's my favorite soccer team on the keychain. Just, Mom, tell him to give me the keychain. I look at Nina, she's like, give him the keychain. So we give him the keychain, and he walks away really happy. And we're just looking at the car in the driveway, and he never got to it. That's what I felt in my heart when I read this. He meant to go by them, but immediately he had to go a different route because they were freaking out. What if God had more for them to do? In Matthew, he tells the story of Peter walking on the water. And when I think of God, and our God does things above and beyond anything we could ever hope for, dream, or imagine. Well, I could imagine God saying, Peter, come out and walk with me. In fact, all of you get out of the boat and come walk with me. If I can imagine that, God's going, I had even more. That's our God. And when you're in the storm, don't miss him. He says to you, like to the disciples, don't be afraid. I am, and nothing will keep me from coming to you. You were in a storm, but I am with you. Wait and see what I can do. My sons, Caleb and Micah, both had TW for a youth pastor. And I always appreciated when they went on a mission trip with him or a conference, that TW would debrief and ask the team, where did you see God today? And I want to challenge you with that. Whether you're in a storm or not, look for him. Where did you see him? Don't miss him. And could you be someone that shows God to someone else? I want to run a couple of things by you. Why we don't see him and how not to miss him. First, why we don't see God. Earlier I said that we can see God through his word. Jesus is the word. But sometimes, and this is me, sometimes the word can be discouraging. And I don't see him. It's not the word's fault, it's mine. For instance, I can read a verse like Jeremiah 29:13, which says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Well, the first part sounds awesome. That's encouraging. I go looking, I'm going to find him. I'm going to find God when you seek me with all your heart. The voice changes. I hear guilt and shame. I hear my church background. I hear conditional love. My parents, I'm sorry. You know, that's just the way it is. I hear those voices. And so guilt and shame says to me, this storm is your fault. Now you have to be perfect before you can come to God. You know you don't love him with your whole heart. It says, seek me with your whole heart. But that's not what God says. God says, if your heart is broken, bring me the peace you have left. That's your whole heart. That's all you have. If your heart is divided between me and sin, bring me the peace that you have. I can work with that. I can't work with it if you don't come to me. That's God. Please don't miss God in your storm because of your scorecard. And how not to miss him. I have dealt with sexual brokenness and porn in my life. I have seen people deal with drug addiction and alcohol addictions. When I was a youth pastor, I had kids in my youth group go away to Christian discipleship programs, go away to Teen Challenge. And everyone I know who has walked away from a life-controlling sin will tell you the most impacting thing they experienced was community. A community that pointed them to Jesus. My friends, we have counselors here. We have Stephen ministers, shepherds, ministry leaders who can help you and guide you. We have Bible studies. We have the table on Wednesdays. We have a plan for a summer discipleship class coming up. Please let this community help you find your community, to find your place, to help you not miss Jesus who wants to pass by you. So I want to wrap this up, and the band can come up, please. I want to wrap this up by looking at today's sign and what happened before and after the sign. So before he fed 5,000, and they wanted to make him king, and then he walks on water, our sign for today, and then after, the crowd finds him again. They find him again, and he explains to them the meaning behind feeding the 5,000. And he reminds them, your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness, manna that came down from heaven. He tells them, I am the true bread that has come down from heaven. And then he goes this far. For some, he went too far. And he says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And after this, many stopped following him. And when he says to the 12, do you want to go away as well? It reminds me that God loves you enough to ask you some tough questions. He loves you enough to tell you some tough things. In Mark, when the rich young ruler asked him, what must I do to be saved? It says he loved him and he told him, you got to get rid of everything. Sell it. Come follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad. In a sign before, we learn that he asks the paralytic, do you want to be well? At one point in my craziness, the height of my sexual immorality, God came to me and he said, you're going to leave me next. That's what's going to happen. But I know he said it because he loves me. And even before that, he was trying. A friend of mine named Fred, who was a youth worker with me at this big church in New York where I was living at the time, he came up to me and he said, just out of the blue, everyone here knows you. You're so involved in this church. Everybody knows who Gino is. Who gets to know you? I thought, you better back up, bro, not you. Because I had worked way too hard to create a world where everybody knew me and had a good word to say, but I was dying in my sin. That was God coming to me, trying to pass by me. But like Job, I missed him. What I should have done was said, Fred, can we sit down for lunch? Can we sit down for coffee? I need to get this out. But instead, I made sure Fred never cornered me again. I just wasn't ready. But when he said to me, next, you're going to leave me. That was it. I was done. He asks the disciples, do you want to leave too, like the rest? And Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. After first service, Doug Rouse came up to me and he said, did you notice Peter said nothing about the signs? He said, you have the words of eternal life. He is the word. This Holy One of God is the one who treads on the waters, the one who wants to come to you in the midst of your storm, and he wants to pass by you. This is the one all of these signs we've been studying have been pointing to. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you sent Jesus, and Jesus, you went to the cross while we were yet sinners. How much more now, if we're your beloved, will you not walk on the storm and pass by us? Father God, you know the storms in this room, the ones that have been going on seemingly for a lifetime, for years. You know the ones that started this morning. And you are, I am, and want to pass by each one of your beloved. Open our eyes to your love for us, Lord God, that we would behold your plan for us. In Jesus' name, amen.